there, friends. Welcome to Faith FM. Welcome to Drive Time Big Q&A. This is the show where we look at current world events in the light of Bible prophecy. This is Marty coming to you live from Adelaide. Today's subject answers the most important question that's ever been asked. What must I do to be saved? You know, Martin Luther famously said, "When I look to myself, I can't see how I can be saved. But when I look to Christ, I can't see how I can be lost." Today, we're going to tackle the big questions. What is the gospel? Why is it such good news? What is sin? And how does God save me from sin? How can I be sure that I am saved? Well, today I'm joined in the studio by Pastor Justin Strauss. Pastor Justin is the pastor of the Adelaide City Church. Welcome to you, Pastor Justin.
Hi, Pastor Marty. Good to be here.
It is good to be here. It is a really, really important subject we're looking at today.
Absolutely. I mean, the gospel is probably the most important topic to speak about.
Yeah, if we had the Bible without the gospel, I suppose it would be like having a treasure chest without the treasure inside of it. Mm. You know, the gospel is at the heart and center of what the Bible teaches. And so what a thrill to be talking about this all-important subject today. Pastor Justin, has anybody ever asked you that question, how can I be saved?
Yes, I think that's a question that dawns upon every human mind. You don't even have to be Christian to wonder how you can be saved. And that's why you have different faiths and religions around the world, because each religion, and doesn't have to be Christian, they believe that their way shows you the true path to life and how you can experience peace. So everybody, you know, at some point in their life does wonder, how can I be saved? And so you have very differing opinions and teachings on how to be saved. But I do believe that the gospel, as presented in the Bible, is the only way that one can be saved. And let me tell you, Pastor Marty, I think it's the most beautiful way.
This is, this is a beautiful story of what God has done through Christ to save us. And I appreciate what you're saying, that, you know, actually in everyone's walk, we actually come to that question of what can I do to be saved? I guess we sense that something's not right. We sense that, you know, we're confronted with the reality of death. And I suppose that's one of the reasons why we ask that question. You know, where can I find hope? How can I find salvation?
I think there's a deep sense of alienation in all our hearts, because sin has brought about estrangement, alienation, and we sense it. It's not just Bible-believing Christians, but everyone around the world senses deep in their heart that there is something to be done for us to be reconciled to God. And, you know, if you look at the other faiths, they teach, you know, a lot about, you know, offering sacrifices to God and doing penance and doing good works. And but that just falls short. And I believe that the gospel is the best news. It's the only good news, is that someone has purchased our redemption for us. And so we're going to unpack this.
I think this is such a powerful subject to unpack. You know, today for our World Watch segment, I actually want us to have a look at a report from Dr. George Barna. Now, Dr. George Barna has been conducting research on religious worldviews, trends within Christianity, and on biblical understanding among Christians for over 40 years. He's an authority on what Americans in particular believe. So I want to take a look at his 2025 American Worldview Inventory, report number 11, entitled "Most Americans Say Eternal Salvation Demands a Blend of Works and Grace." So this was released in November 25, 2025. And I just want to come to the article and have a look at some of the key findings that we discover in this article. So Once again, Dr. George Barna, he's an authority on this subject. The article begins, Americans typically believe that Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave is not sufficient to secure their eternal salvation. Instead, they believe that experiencing eternal peace and joy requires a blend of personal works and God's grace. A new report from the Cultural Research Center of Arizona Christian University, based on a national survey of 2,000 adults, also reveals that expectations regarding what happens after death, a key component of worldview, vary substantially even among those who claim to be Christian. For many of those individuals, heaven may be a place of permanent peace or rest, but without the presence of God. Regardless, more than 9 out of 10 Americans who align with the Christian faith contend that they will experience that condition of never-ending bliss, whether God is there or not. The survey continues. While the survey found that 84% of adults, including 95% of self-professed Christians, believe that there is such a thing as sin, millions of American adults do not believe that their sinfulness will resign them to a future of fire and brimstone. Overall, a mere 3% of adults believe their souls or spirit or essence will experience unending torment and punishment. Continuing on, the article continues to say spiritual optimism is widespread. Among those who say they're Christian, 3 out of 4, 77%, said that they will enjoy eternal comfort and peace. Coming down to the third page in the article, said that essentially there was different ideas among those who claim to be born again Christians of what it meant to be born again. George Barna highlights that a large minority says that a simple admission of sinning constitutes repentance. That's 40% of people in this category. And 1/4 of the group does not believe that confessing their sins is very important in their salvation process. 1 out of 3 does not even consider themselves to be a sinner. And ultimately, just 6 out of 10 of the self-described born-again segment of believers said that they will live eternally in the presence of God. Now, I want to just sort of jump down now to some of George Barna's reflections on this research and on the findings. Dr. Barna, who has been conducting research related to beliefs about life and death for more than 4 decades, noted that despite the importance of Jesus Christ to the Christian faith, so many people aligned with the faith do not understand his reason for spending time on earth. He says there remains a shocking degree of misunderstanding among Christians regarding sin, repentance, forgiveness, and salvation. Tens of millions of people who attend Christian churches every single week, he says, do not seem to understand this issue. And so, Pastor Justin, I want to now just come over to some of the, you know, some other statements here actually as well. I want to highlight this statement here. Dr. George Barna describes that so many Christians who believe in Jesus do not understand why he came. Also, the study results raise another issue that concerned Barna. Quote, millions of people who regularly attend Christian churches believe that eternal salvation does not depend on the sacrifice of Christ because of our sins. They don't understand this fundamental tenet of Christian belief, he says. Instead, we have a majority of self-described Christians hedging their eternal bets by integrating multiple means of salvation into their personal security plan. They say that they are relying on Jesus to wash away their sins, but they also expect their good works to gain them points with God, and they retain the possibility of other pathways to eternal peace just in case. So this multifaceted salvation strategy enables them to avoid stress over the whole issue, especially for those who also harbor the possibility that there may be no type of life after death anyway. That's what Barna said. Here's his conclusion. The presence of unbiblical beliefs in the minds of most Christian-leaning Americans reminds us that most people are information collectors rather than biblically consistent followers of Christ. Americans, says Barna, are more determined to be comfortable than biblically right. That preference, he says, will produce profound eternal effects for each of us. So it's quite a confronting article, Pastor Justin, quite an insightful article. And to me, I found it quite disturbing, you know, to see that there are tens of millions of Christians who attend church regularly, but have such significant misunderstandings about the basics of salvation, repentance, forgiveness, and all these things. What I found fascinating, though, is that the absolute vast majority of Christians today in America, and I would suggest that that also represents really Christians pretty much, you know, in Western countries around the world, that the vast, vast majority of Christians expect that they will have eternal life and eternal bliss in heaven. And I want to sort of ask, how do you think that that connects with Jesus' description of the narrow way, described in the Sermon on the Mount?
I think this is a shocking statistics that Barna brings out. And I've been reading Barna for many, many years, and he is brilliant. He really brings a lot of good insights to the fore regarding the state of Christianity. And we can really see the deplorable state of Christianity. And I do believe that the Christianity that we see today in the West is very, very shallow. It's very superficial and artificial. You know,
it's lukewarm.
It's very lukewarm. I love what Leonard Ravenhill, very well-known Baptist preacher that lived a couple of decades ago. He passed away about 25 years ago. He said this famous quote. He said, "The early church was married to poverty, prisons, and persecutions. Today, the modern church is married to prosperity, personality, and popularity."
Have mercy.
And so we can see that Christianity today is a crossless, Christless Christianity. In fact, the Bible actually describes the deplorable state of Christianity in the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 onwards. And the Bible says, "But know this, that in the last times, perilous days will come." And then it says, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents."
You'd think that that's describing
the heathen, the pagan,
the world,
the unbelievers.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I used to think that this was a description of many years ago, that this God was describing the unbelievers. But if you go down to verses 5, the Bible clearly says, "Holding a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, avoid such men as these." And so the Bible clearly describes the state of Christianity in the last days. And, you know, I believe that part of the reason is because Christians are biblically illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dr. Barna actually touched on
that. He actually makes that very point.
Yeah. So when I was reading, I was like, yeah, this is definitely symptoms of biblical illiteracy. And that's exactly what he said.
So how dangerous is it for a person to believe that they're saved when in fact they're not?
I think it's the height of self-deception. And I think it's in a very dangerous position to be in, because when you have a false idea of salvation and you think that you are saved, why would you want to learn about the gospel? You know, it causes complacency. And so people are just indifferent to actually getting into the Word of God and studying because they're saved. Why do they need to do it? So I think it's really, you know, scaling the heights of self-deception. you know, to think that you are saved, but you are far, far from Christ.
It reminds me of the words of Christ, some of the most sobering words in all of Scripture, in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, this is chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It's fascinating that this is describing a group of Christians because they call Jesus Lord.
Exactly.
And yet Jesus says they didn't do the will of the Father. They worked for God, but they didn't do the will of God.
And it's interesting what Jesus says when he says, I never knew you. You see, we think that if we say that we know God, that we're going to be saved.
Mm.
But the question is, does Jesus know us?
Mm.
And I think that is the determinative factor in our salvation. If Christ knows us, then we truly know him. And who are those that know him? Well, those that do his will, that obey. Now, obedience in common Christianity today, and I like to use the word common Christianity, is a very, very, it's almost like a swear word. People don't like to hear the word obedience, but Jesus says, you who practice lawlessness, who did not do the will of the Father. And so, you know, obedience does play a role, but it's not the root of the gospel. It's the fruit of the gospel.
This is a great point. And because there's obviously confusion over this as well.
Exactly.
That, you know, there are many Christians who Barna is describing as well that believe that there's this blend, you know, of what Jesus did for me on the cross plus, you know, my good works, then that is what's going to secure me sort of eternal peace.
So I'd like to say if salvation was dependent upon 99% of Jesus' blood and his righteousness and 1% of your own good works, no one would be saved. Not a single solitary soul.
Mm.
It has to be all of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We are so pitiful. We are so weak. We are so spiritually bankrupt that we cannot bring anything to the table. It's all Jesus.
And it's almost a mockery of what Jesus has done to sort of think that we can contribute in the sense that, like, think of the, you know, we consider who is Jesus? Jesus is the infinite, eternal Son of God, and he lays down his life on the cross. And are we going to turn around and say what you did wasn't enough? Like, we have to add to that. You know, and I think that the confusion also that though does come in from a genuine contention, and that is that whilst we are saved completely and entirely by God's grace, like you said, the fruit or the result of that salvation is a changed life.
That's the outflow. The inflow is God's grace, but there's an outflow.
Mm.
And so when we come into abiding relationship with Jesus, we bear fruit. We are productive. But it's the result of
salvation. So we should never see heaven as a reward for doing good things. Is that what you're saying?
Definitely not. Heaven is for those who know Jesus.
Mm.
Because I believe that heaven is all centered in knowing God.
And if we know Christ and we've given our life to him, he will produce good, you know, he will produce good works in us.
Yeah, it's his work.
It's his work.
Mm.
This is such a vitally important subject. And dear friends on Faith FM, unfortunately, this is a subject which is greatly, greatly misunderstood. And so stick around, stay with us as we talk about what is the gospel, what is our need of Christ, how does Jesus save me? This is such a powerful subject, Pastor Justin. We're going to come to some music. It is the song In the Name of Jesus. I love this song by Carly Kachansky, actually, and it really captures what Jesus can do for each one of us. I hope and pray that you're blessed by this song.
There is salvation in proclaim His name and His righteousness. He'll stand for you, for He is true. There is salvation, salvation in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. You know, the same Jesus who conquered sin, conquered death, conquered Satan, conquered the grave, can give us victory, can give us freedom, can give us power. Praise God for the victory that Jesus has won, and that He all has won on our behalf, and that He will also win in our own lives as we can we trust ourselves to Him. Friends, The truth of this subject that we're studying today is absolutely vital. We're looking at the gospel. How does Jesus save us? What does it mean to experience salvation? But friends, what we can cover in this program today is not enough to give the depth of this subject. And so we're offering a free book. This book has been translated into more than 150 different languages. This book is called Steps to Christ. You know, before the American soldiers went to war, during World War One, I believe, every single one of them was given this book, Steps to Christ, because this book explains how to experience salvation through Christ Jesus. Friends, I appeal to you to take us up on this free offer. We'd love to give you this book, Steps to Christ. The author of this book, of course, is Ellen White, the most prolific American author of all time, and one of the most translated authors of all time as well. Steps to Christ is a book that I've read time and time again. It will strengthen your faith. It will tell you and give you the answers to know the question of what must I do to be saved. It will give you assurance of salvation as you read and as you follow the instruction revealed in this book, Steps to Christ. Friends, if you would like to claim your free copy of this beautiful book, Steps to Christ, full color edition, and perhaps you even know someone else who you want to give this book to, then please do not hesitate to text us the code SA422. Just 5 digits, SA422. Text the code to our drive time number, 0488-808-11. Once again, our Faith FM drive time number is 0488-808-11. Text us the code today, SA422, and we will get you the book Steps to Christ as soon as we possibly can. Friends, I believe that by making that simple decision to get that book could be an eternal decision. It could mean the difference between knowing exactly how to be saved and not. And so I believe, don't hesitate, text us that code if you sense that you need to understand who Jesus is and how he can save you, then text us the code SA422 to 0488-808-11. Welcome back. You are listening to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. This is Pastor Marty coming to you live from Adelaide. Leading our discussion today is Pastor Justin Strauss. He's the pastor of the Adelaide City Church. Pastor Justin, we're asking the question today, what is the gospel?
Paul answers this question in Romans 1 verse 16 and 17. Very well-known Bible verse. And we just want to have a look at this very briefly. Romans 1 verse 16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." What a tremendous statement from Paul. And Paul here in the statement equates the gospel with the power of God. Now, Pastor Marty, if you had to think about that, can you measure or quantify God's power?
God is almighty, all powerful,
eternal, infinite, exhaustless power of God. So, all of God's power is invested in the gospel.
Wow.
Okay. So if the gospel is the power of God, then the gospel is the most powerful force in this world.
And love
so,
that.
Yeah. So
that's powerful.
It's just a beautiful statement. And Paul says that it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. And so how do we accept that power? Well, he says simply to those who believe, to those who live by faith. Now, what does it mean, the gospel? Probably the simplest definition is euangelion, which is good news. And it's all about the saving grace, the redeeming love, and the infinite mercy of Jesus Christ toward sinners. You know, if you read this verse in Romans 1, verse 16, 17, that the gospel is more than just a theory or a belief, but it's the very power of God. Now, Pastor Marty, where was the power of God displayed for us to actually see? It's at the cross.
At the cross.
At the cross.
At the cross. It's making me think 1 Corinthians 1:18.
Absolutely. For the word of the cross, or the message of the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the
power of God.
It's the power of God. So, so Paul uses the power of God as the gospel and the cross. And so actually the gospel is the message of the cross. I like Charles Spurgeon. I'm reading a book by Charles Spurgeon on the gospel, and he started this book by saying the heart of the gospel is redemption, and the essence of redemption is the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. I think he's onto something here. That the essence of the gospel is the redemptive work of Christ at the cross. And one of my favorite passages from another author, one of my favorite authors, Ellen White, she says, hanging upon the cross, Christ was the gospel.
Yeah, I love that quote.
I love that quote. Love it. This is our message, our argument, our doctrine, our warning to the impenitent, our encouragement for the sorrowing, and hope for the believer. If we can awaken an interest in men's minds that they will cause them to fix their eyes on Christ, we may step aside and ask them only to continue to keep their eyes upon the Lamb of God. Yeah, it's beautiful. And then Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So, you know, we see the power of God displayed at the cross. And it's kind of almost a divine paradox, because it seemed like Jesus was being defeated, hanging on the cross. Like that would be the epitome of weakness and subjugation and, you know, of being overcome. But actually, Christ hanging on the cross is the assurance of salvation to all those who believe. It is the power of God on display. The cross of Christ reveals two things: the terrible nature of sin and God's hatred for sin on the one hand, and on the other hand, God's infinite love for the sinner.
Yeah. Wow.
And so it's his justice and his mercy displayed at the cross. You know, Pastor Marty, I love the gospel, and I believe that the gospel is completely unique. It stands without peer or parallel in the world today. You know, if you look at all other religions in the world, in probably all of their teachings, man is required to do something or to sacrifice something. You know, in many religions, you have to bring your offering to God, you know, to earn salvific points with God, to earn his favor, to gain his blessing. And so the idea is that I must do something to win God's approbation. And, you know, I have to do that by, you know, bringing something or sacrificing something. But the glorious gospel of Christ is completely opposite to this. And it actually goes against this, where God himself comes and he says to us, will you accept my sacrifice?
Yeah. That's totally different. It's not about what we do for him. It's about what he has done for us.
Exactly. So God himself humbled himself. He sacrificed himself. And all he wants us to do is to look to him in trust and in faith, and to accept his sacrifice on our, you know, over our lives, that he will cleanse us and forgive us of our sins. You know, Pastor Marty, I'm going to make another statement here. I believe that you can only fully appreciate the gospel, and hear where I'm coming from, if you really understand how lost we are.
Yeah.
You have to come to grips with our fallen, pitiful, poverty-stricken spiritual condition. You know, anyone who has a high estimate upon themselves, you know, like the proud and the arrogant, see no need for accepting Christ who died on the cross. But I believe that those who truly see the desperate, despicable condition of the human race, that we are fallen and sunken in sin, can actually appreciate what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's only when we understand what we are saved from that we can begin to appreciate the wonderful love of Jesus as displayed on the cross. And you know,
yeah, I think this is such a very powerful point, and it reminds me of the words of Christ when he said, you know, those who are well, they don't need a physician. They don't need a doctor, but those who are sick, I came to call sinners to repentance, not the righteous. You know, in other words, seeing that we have a spiritual problem is not a bad thing.
Mm.
When we recognize that we have a spiritual problem, then we will seek after Christ for the solution.
Well, that's repentance.
Hmm.
Repentance is when you come to the cross and you see what your sins, you know, have brought upon God, that he suffered for us. That brings about a change, a metanoia, as the Greek word is, a change in life, a complete turnaround. And so it's so important that we come to grips that without Christ, we are utterly and totally lost. And so as I studied into the gospel, I realized, and you know, as I was unpacking this from the Word of God, what causes our helpless condition? I believe that there are four things that make man utterly and entirely lost. In other words, there are four things that Jesus saves us from in the gospel. Can I unpack that just quickly?
Yeah.
We might just get through half of them and then have a break, and we'll come to the other half. But there are four things that make us utterly lost.
Mm.
And this is where Christ redeems us. The first thing that we are utterly lost is because we are slaves of sin. The gospel saves from the slavery of sin. In John chapter 8, verses 34, John chapter 8, notice what Jesus said. John chapter 8, verses 34, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." So from the words of Jesus himself, it is very clear that because we are sunken and saturated in sin, we are slaves of sin. Sin has infected and infested the entire, human race, and it's enslaved us in bondage. And Pastor Marty, when you go to Genesis, you know, in the very beginning, we realize that this was not God's plan. God created a sin-free, suffering-free world. But when Adam and Eve believed the lies of Satan, they were infected with sin. And ever since then, sin has infected the world. And I would like to submit to you the thought that the cross is God's blood bank for a sin-infected world. Only in the cross has God given us an antivirus against the sickness of sin. And it's a beautiful thought that when I come to the cross, Jesus bears my sins and he gives us his righteousness.
Wow.
In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, wow. I believe that this is one of my favorite Bible verses of late. I've memorized this and I hold this very near and dear to my heart. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, you know what it is. "For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Wow. You know, it's at the cross that I bring my wretchedness in exchange for his perfect righteousness.
I want to just ask a little bit more and perhaps even jump in on this idea of, you know, when Jesus says that when we sin, that and everyone has sinned, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is that? I'm thinking, what does that look like? What does it mean to be a slave of sin? Because we've just looked at this research that many people think that they're okay. They're all right.
Mm. So what it means is that being a slave of sin means that you cannot resist sin. In other words, slave is your master, because our natural carnal minds and hearts gravitate towards sin.
Is this kind of what Paul was talking about when he said in Romans 7,
that's right,
"For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice."
So there's a spiritual tug of war that was raging in his life, and he realized his utter helplessness in able to resist the urge of sin, because we obey its promptings, because our nature loves sin.
Hmm.
We have a sin-loving nature, but it's only Christ at the cross that he implants within us a new nature. And this new nature actually gives us victory over sin. Now, this is a process that happens over our entire lives, this spiritual tug of war. But we have to surrender to Jesus. You know, we cannot win this tug of war in our own strength. We've got to give it over to Jesus. Let him fight for us. But yes, it's a terrible state to be in, to be a slave of sin. I also want to just deal with the second one and then we'll go on the break. The gospel saves us from the bondage of death.
Okay.
2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10, and I'm just bringing out from the Bible because I want the Bible to speak to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10, the Bible says, "But he's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ when he came to this earth, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And so when Adam sinned, death became part and parcel of the human experience, right? From the entrance of sin, man has always feared death. No one can escape death. But Jesus came to conquer death on our behalf. He said in John 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life." And so Jesus delivers us from the power. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe that Paul says the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And so Jesus gives us victory over death.
This is, I love what you've been sharing, Pastor Justin, that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is the power of God. There is infinite power in the gospel to free us from the slavery of sin, to free us from the bondage of death. We're looking forward to these next two points. We're going to come to some music. It's, again, Carly Kachansky with the song, "Not Ashamed." I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
May I never blush, may I never whisper, may I shout your name out loud, Jesus Christ is Lord, he is King of all. I am not ashamed to tell the world, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, I am not ashamed to speak his name, I am not ashamed to suffer for his kingdom, because he was not ashamed to die for me. The gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for everyone who believes. Will you make a choice,
make a choice,
and join me now,
join me now,
let us take a stand for him. Jesus, you are Lord, you are King of all. We are not ashamed to tell the world, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, I am not ashamed to speak his name, I am not ashamed to suffer for his kingdom, because he was not ashamed to die for me. Jesus Christ.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. These are the words of the Apostle Paul from Romans 1:16. Friends, if you want to experience the gospel in your own life, you can accept Christ today. And then you need to keep walking forward with Jesus. There's a book that we're offering. It's a free book. Our gift to you from Faith FM. It's a book called Steps to Christ. It's been translated into more than 150 different languages. Millions of people around the world of different backgrounds and cultures have come to find peace with God through the message of this book. Friends, if you want to get your free copy of this book, all you've got to do is text our studio number. The number is 0488 808 11, and the code that you need to text us is SA422. Do you want peace with God? Do you want victory in your life, freedom and strength in your relationship with Christ? Then I highly, highly recommend this powerful book, Steps to Christ. Once again, the code is SA422, and our studio number is 0488 808 11. Friends, welcome back. You are listening to Faith FM Drive Time. This is Big Q&A with Marty, coming to you live from Adelaide, and leading our Bible study this afternoon is Pastor Justin Strauss. Pastor Justin, you've shared two powerful principles of what the gospel can do in our lives. What are the other two principles that you want to share with us?
I'm going to share the other two principles, and I'm going to read a quote from Steps to Christ. It's an amazing book. And we've seen that the first thing, you know, when sin came into this world, it entangled us completely in bondage. And we were in bondage to sin. We were in bondage to the power of death. And we realize that in the gospel, Jesus Christ sets us free. But more than that, the gospel delivers us from the snare of Satan, from Satan's power. The Bible again says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Pastor Marty, could you read that for us?
The Bible says, "And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will."
And then you have a verse in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Peter 2, verse 19. It says something similar to
2 Peter 2:19. "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage."
And so we were brought under the bondage of Satan himself. And so it's terrible, if you think about it, that we are captives of Satan in our natural, carnal, lost condition. And let me tell you something, Satan is not a good master.
Very true.
You don't want to be under his power, but Jesus sets us free. And we see this in Mark chapter 5. And Pastor Marty, if we had time, I would show you that in all of these points, Jesus actually touched on every single one of them in different healing accounts in the Gospels. But in Mark chapter 5, with the demoniacs, we don't have time to read it, but a well-known story that these demoniacs, they gave way by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. You see, the devils and demons will not give an inch to any other power other than that of Christ himself. And so Jesus has power. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So through the gospel, Pastor Marty, Satan is a defeated foe. He's a vanquished enemy, right? Christ frees us from the prison house of Satan. He's a stronger man that binds up the strong man, and he gives us freedom. And now the fourth point is the gospel rescues man from the condemnation of the law. you know, being born in sin, Pastor Marty, that I'm going to make a radical statement here, but by nature, we are rebels against God's government.
Yeah.
You realize that? We are rebellious. In our unsafe state, we have committed high treason against the holy government of God. And Pastor Marty, it is very clear from the Bible that no lawbreaker will ever enter heaven. The reason why Adam and Eve were cast out from the Garden of Eden and forbidden access to the Tree of Life is because they were rebels. They broke God's holy law. And so God's holy law stands as a witness against our sinfulness and our rebellion. And so no condemned person, guilty of breaking God's law, in the least particular, can ever claim right to eternal life. And that's a pretty lost condition.
This is a helpless condition.
Completely. And so what does the gospel do? Let's read in Romans 5, verse 18 to 20. Romans chapter 5. I love for the Bible to speak to us. Romans 5,
Amen.
Verse 18 to 20. Can you read that, Pastor Marty?
Therefore, as through one man's offense, that would be Adam, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, that's Christ, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous.
Do you see the gospel in that text?
That's a powerful, it's a powerful text of showing how even though we've been plunged into this problem of sin, that Christ gives us the free gift of his righteousness because he kept the law perfectly in our place. You know, that to me is a tremendous, tremendous truth that when I review my own life, it, you know, very quickly, I it's scary. You know, you think of countless examples of falling short of breaking God's law. But that I can come to Jesus and that his perfect law keeping
is credited to
is credited to me.
Absolutely.
Is that just makes me say, praise God.
I want to read a statement here from Steps to Christ in on the second chapter, The Sinner's Need of Christ. Beautiful statement, a beautiful chapter, marvelous book, where it says, it is impossible for us of ourselves to escape from the pit of sin in which we are sunken. Our hearts are evil and we cannot change them. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for he is not subject to the law of God. Neither can be. That's Job 14 verse 4 and Romans 8 verse 7. Education, culture, the exercise of the will, human effort, all have their proper sphere, but here they are helpless and powerless. They may produce an outward correctness of behavior, but they cannot change the heart. They cannot purify the springs of life. There must be a power, there we have the word power, working from within, a new life from above, before men can be changed from sin to holiness. That power is Christ.
That power is Christ.
That power is Christ. I love that. You know, Pastor Marty, when we understand how lost we are, that sin has tangled us up, it's only the gospel that can untangle us. It sets us free from the power of sin. It sets us free from the bondage of death. It sets us free from the snares of Satan, where Satan is now a defeated foe. And it sets us free from the condemnation of law. In other words, from my shame and my guilt and my condemnation. And so now we can appreciate the words of Jesus in John 8 verse 32. You know those words. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free.
This is such good news. This is such good news that although we are great sinners, Jesus is a great Savior.
Amen. Amen.
That he has taken our sins and given us his righteousness as a free gift. I mean, Pastor Justin, we'd have to be crazy to say no to that offer.
Absolutely. And my closing thought is this. The gospel is God's full package of salvation. It is through the gospel, which takes the power of God, that he takes wretched, sinful sons and daughters of mankind, and he rises them from the dust of degradation and defeat to become the very sons and daughters of God worthy of heaven. And in the gospel, we see that God is both rescuer, restorer, and he's our redeemer.
Yeah.
If you're weak, find strength in Jesus.
Yeah.
If you're feeling guilty, you can find peace and pardon in Christ alone. And this is why I'm a follower of Jesus, that I want freedom. You know, one of the greatest things that human hearts desire is freedom.
Yeah.
I want to submit to you that Jesus Christ was the greatest freedom fighter that the world or the universe has ever witnessed. He came to this world to purchase our complete freedom. What a savior. Jesus is utterly amazing.
Pastor Justin, I'm just conscious that there is someone now who wants to have peace with God. Would you lead us in a prayer and just pray for our listeners this afternoon?
I'd love to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel, that truly it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And Lord, I pray for all our listeners, those that are maybe struggling in their own lives. Lord, I pray that you will help them to fasten their eyes upon Jesus on the cross and receive from the cross the balm, the healing balm that can be applied to all our wounds, that can set us free from all our chains, that can set us upon a course that we can inherit eternal life.
Yes.
So Father, bless our listeners. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the power of the gospel. Save us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends, it looks like our time for today is up, but thank you for joining us today on Drive Time Big Q&A. Join us again tomorrow when Pastor Gary and Pastor David will be answering the question, what is repentance? Is it essential? Tomorrow's program is going to continue to unpack how we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Until then, remember this powerful promise in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. May God richly and abundantly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.